What up, Gimme?
What up, T-Lou?
Let's get into it, right?
Let's ride.
High drive into right, back at the wall.
Swung on a drill deep to right field. There it goes. See ya.
First hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. That goes up to it. Back near the wall. It's out of here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Welcome to episode 70 of the Big Fly Pod with your co-host KMA and T-Lou. Vinny is out tonight. Vinny has bigger and better things he's doing rather than hanging with us, so we wish him all the best. But I think we should check in with KMA. Coach KMA, excuse me, how's the softball team looking? How's the season? What are we looking for here? Because I think the preview for the upcoming season is coming up here fairly soon, right?
Yeah, it is. I'll give you the rundown. So we got day two of tryouts today. Day one was yesterday. The squad's looking okay. It's kind of like a little bit of a transition year for us. We had an older squad last year. We had a lot of graduates off the team. So we got some younger kids who are easing their way into some bigger roles this year on the squad. So got some talent nonetheless, but there's going to be some growing pains for sure, as there always is with some young teams. So we shall see, but the girls are excited. They're ready to go, and so am I. So we're looking to have another good season.
Did you ever think you'd be coaching women's softball?
I knew there was a chance. I mean, it's pretty similar to baseball, right? Which is like my 1A sport. So I always thought in the back of my head, hey, there's a shot out there that I could, get the ladies going. But here I am. I'm loving every minute.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. You want to build a culture. It starts with a man who starts with Kyle and ends with May. I tell you what, man. This guy's special.
You're damn right.
This guy's special. You know who is also special, and I will give him his flowers, but now has kind of flipped the world upside down here, the baseball world, is Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole, reported MRI, now is all of a sudden stirring the pot for the one and only Dylan Cease. Let's talk about it here in just a sec, KMA, but I do want to kind of give a little background. So less than a few hours after it was reported that Gerrit Cole was going to be getting an MRI on his elbow, okay, literally Dylan Cease's name is brought up in trade rumors immediately. And of course, people were going to bring that up automatically, but I feel as if it got brought up kind of interesting enough in the same time frame as now then Montgomery and Snell, as Boris trying to get into it a little bit. So Gerrit Cole has discomfort in his pitching elbow. Aaron Boone announced Tuesday that it would, quote, it would be difficult to envision Gerrit Cole starting opening day. Now, we've also seen, because this ties into what we're going to talk about here in a sec, folks, but now right before this episode, I saw that the Rangers even checked in on Cease. Now Cease has two more years left before becoming a free agent in 2026. He just signed for $8 million under his year two of arbitration. He was in, talk about trade talks. He was probably the most highly touted arm in trade talks, you know, besides Glass now this offseason. What do you make of this, dude? Because you're dealing with it firsthand as a fan of the Sox. Like, what are your thoughts on it, man?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been prepared for a Dylan Cease trade since the winter meetings, really. Like, I thought that's when it was going to go down. So it's kind of crazy to me that he's still on the White Sox here on March 12th as we're talking and recording this episode. But yeah, I saw some of those reports too. It's kind of interesting how those rumors come and go. You know, who knows how much truth there is into them. The guys in the front office know what's going on at all times. We're just here to speculate. But yeah, I also saw that another team had an even better offer for Dylan Cease on the table. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
Outside of the Yankees. Again, just a report or a rumor. So something interesting that's out there, but we'll see. I'd say it's like 50-50 right now that he starts the season with the White Sox.
Wow. That is crazy. And I think at the end of the day, I don't know if Dylan Cease is represented by Boris, but I just find it interesting, though, like I mentioned earlier, now the Snell and Montgomery stuff obviously continues to stir. And it's really unfortunate to say this, and I truly mean that. I don't really, nobody listens to our show yet, It's coming. But I would think that, sadly enough, Boris was looking for a situation like this. Doesn't mean he was wishing it upon anyone, but he was saying, you know, this is a possibility that could happen, and now you are potential targets. I mean, here's the thing, KMA. So if the Yankees go and sign Montgomery or Snell, and I don't know the exact number. I think it's above 25 million or 30 million, one of the two. Because of the luxury tax, that turns into like $70 to $80 million because of the tax associated with it.
Yep.
So what's more important, money or prospects? What do you think?
I mean, that's a good question. If it's me, I'm going to go for it, right? I mean, if it means possibly winning.
Which way, though? Like, are you leaning towards, like, you get one decision. You either go prospects for Cease, or you give up money, additional money for Montgomery or Snow. Out of those three, for this 1 year of Juan Soto, what are you going with?
Money for Snell or Montgomery. You know, I think you're going to go for it for this year. As we saw just recently, too, with that Juan Soto trade, we talked about this on the last episode, too. But those pitchers that went to the Padres look pretty, they could be pretty useful to the Yankees right now. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Yankees are now valuing their prospects a little bit more, maybe a little bit, you know, not as likely to pull the trigger on a deal like that, I guess you could say. But yeah, I'd go money for sure.
I love it. Now, the one thing is this, you know, obviously they're really highly touted prospect, Spencer Jones. Yeah. You know, everyone, of course, then mentions either he is a part of the deal or he isn't a part of the deal. I'm guessing they're trying to keep him as much as possible. But for 2 years for a guy that, I mean, let's be honest, Cease is a top of the rotation guy when he's on. If he's not on, maybe he's a two, or maybe you want to call it a three. I think he's more of a, if we want to stay like realistic, I'd say number two, especially with obviously Cole and then Rodon. But you look at all three, no real injury history between all three. All have been there and been durable. Snell's going to give you more walks, possibly, but he's going to give you more strikeouts. Montgomery is that left-hander that you're probably going to be missing with Rodon potentially going on the shelf, and who knows what's going to happen to him this year. So I don't know. You may be right. You may not need another righty in that rotation. You probably need another lefty. So, you know, if you're thinking about the AL East, you need a guy. I'm trying to think AL East wise lineups. I mean, they're all loaded, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, you got Rutschman on the Orioles, or I guess he's a switch, right?
So switch. Yeah, I was thinking Devers, but like Devers, Cassis in Boston, which again, Boston just doesn't scream anything this year.
Yeah.
Blue Jays, you got Springer, Bichette, Guerrero. It'd be interesting, man. This is wild, though. I mean, I have another question for you. This is kind of a side question. Do you have more confidence right now in the Yankees or the Blue Jays?
Oh, that's a good one. I was really high on the Blue Jays last year, if you remember correctly.
Yeah. Thought,
they were my pick to make it to the World Series in the American League.
Yeah.
Probably the Yankees. Just because they have more, I don't know what you want to call it, sustained success, I guess, as of late. And they have more firepower in that offense. I mean, that offense is loaded. We talked about them loaded. last episode before. Yeah, I mean, firepower in that offense is crazy. So if you compare the rosters side to side, I'm going to take the Yankees.
I would too. We shall see, K-Man. I would love, I mean... Realistically, 2 years left with Cease right now. Can you give me some sort of return? I know it's so unique because each team is different with the value of prospects that they have or the quantity of talented prospects that they have. Yeah. Like, what do you think is an adequate return for a guy like Cease?
I would say you need at least a top 100 guy, top 100 prospect, and then plus pieces on top of that. Whether that be a major league ready piece, whether that be someone who's, you know, really toolsy, not quite ready yet. But top 100 prospect, that's where it starts for me. And then from there, it's just some kind of fill-ins, whether it's one guy, two guys, three guys, depending on the value of those guys. It's kind of what I'd be looking for if I was Chris Getz.
The last thing I'll say on this, because I personally would trade Cease yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you don't have anything happening here the next 2 years. You don't. The bullpen is not there, so anything Cease does is basically going to be on him. He's not going to get any wins, so it's going to show no value there. But at least within the analytical data, probably right now, it's probably like, wow, this guy's actually stout. And you just never know, man. If he goes out there, there's nothing really to compete for. So why don't you just get what you're going to get now? I don't see a future of them getting a better package than maybe they would right now by the trade deadline.
Yeah, the flip side of that is, what if he is a Cy Young candidate and for the first half of the season, right? Then the value skyrockets, but that's a big risk. You know, he could also go the other way and he could get hurt, you know, in May or June. So, yeah, you bring up a good point. I do give Chris Getz credit for setting a price and not really wavering from that, not settling in his eyes. You know, he has a value set in his mind and he's not going to waver from that. So I think you kind of have to respect that in a way. Whether a deal gets done or not is yet to be seen. But if there's anything that we've learned this offseason, is he's holding his ground and he's not really falling from the value that he has of Cease or that he sees in his mind.
Well, while Getz has to make probably a risky move with Cease, Noelvi Marte made a really risky move by taking PEDs. He has been suspended 80 games, a very, very, very highly touted prospect for the Reds. Jeff Passan, of course, reported this on Friday of last week after we recorded. He had a 822 OPS in the majors last year at just over 100 ABs. A guy that many thought would be if we want to mention fantasy baseball briefly here, a fantasy sleeper or a big time riser of the ranks in regards to fantasy. His name was going around a lot. And it's so funny because if you drafted before, that sucks. That really sucks because you probably waited on him or whatever. But that's our fantasy baseball talk for the day. But now the plan was, of course, for Marte to start over at third base opening day. And then you'd have Yonmer Candelario, who came over, of course, this offseason in free agency, and CES, Christian Encarnacion Strawn, to man first base. Now Candelario probably has to slide over to third base. You do have McClain, you do have Ellie, you have, of course, options across the infield. Maybe there's I can't think of the names off the top of my head from a free agency standpoint as to what you can grab, but this is a gut punch, dude, for the Reds.
Yeah. And we talked about the Reds being like one of those up and coming teams. A lot of people think they're going to win the NL Central, including you. I think you were on the record saying that they would be your pick to win the Central. So, kind of a punch in the gut, for those guys, but, you know, they still got a lot of pieces in place. You just kind of mentioned a few of those guys. So I think they'll be okay. You know, there's no guarantee that he was going to come up and blow everybody out of the water either. You know, so they still got a solid squad. So, yes, it sucks, but I still expect them to be in the race there in the Central.
Joey Votto, the new Blue Jay, returns back to his home country, said, quote, he's saddened by Marte's decision to take PEDs. I don't think I've heard I'm saddened.
That's probably the most Canadian way to say it.
Yeah.
I'm like, saddened.
I'm saddened. Wow. I don't know why that's so funny. I'm sad. I'm sad. Sorry, but I'm sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to have on a buddy of mine who's from Canada for the Jays episode.
Love that.
And maybe another one too. We'll see. But I am very excited to talk Jays because I have some hot takes about the Jays that I will say to him that probably will bring him down a little bit. But shout out my boy Chris. I'm very, very excited to do that episode with you. And yeah, it should be interesting. You know what's really going to be interesting, KMA, is Mookie Betts is now the Dodgers shortstop. Dave Roberts announced that he is officially the new shortstop for the Dodgers. This comes after all some defensive issues that they saw this spring with Gavin Lux over at short, specifically is throwing across the infield. Look, I had the yips in college. I can speak to it very truly. It's one of the worst things to ever have in your life as a baseball player. So I feel for the guy. I saw a play where he was thrown from second base now because obviously they flip-flop positions and it didn't look too pretty either. So that really sucks because you feel for a guy who literally just tore his ACL the year before, missed the in spring training. So spring training is spring training hasn't been probably the most ideal time for the guy personally, right? So he has all this, and then now he has these issues as well. And, you know, the confidence and everything like this, I don't want to relate it to Cody Bellinger because Cody Bellinger's situation was interesting because he had the shoulder issue and never recovered properly. And it just didn't work out there. And, you know, whatever, they caught a lightning in a bottle with the Cubs and hopefully maybe he has a great year this year as well. But it seems like the Dodgers, they have so much talent that when guys struggle, it's so difficult to keep them and give them the opportunity to be successful on the field. So Mookie Betts is now the starting shortstop for the Dodgers.
Yeah, the craziest part about this is he hasn't played shortstop since high school, he said. Did you get that quote from him?
Yeah.
And now he's just going to casually do it in the big leagues on a nightly basis. Like, people don't understand how hard that is to do, to kind of give up that position for a decade and now just say, yeah, sure, I'll play shortstop every day. It's just, what an insane athlete, incredible human being. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy who can do it. I don't think anybody has any doubt that he can handle it over there. So it'll be fun to watch him over there at short.
He's going to be electric. And I would love to see Lux do well over at second. I mean, likewise, that would be fun little, you know, fun little duo in the infield, which was just obviously beforehand was going to be Lux and Betts anyways. It's so funny because I just scroll X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, every time we're doing episodes. So I'll bring up one other thing after this, but I don't know. It was brought up. It's obviously a big story. They have Miguel Rojas, who is solid veteran to put over at shortstop. Offensively, he's not going to give you the production that Lux and Betts will give you. But I don't really feel too bad for the Dodgers because of the depth that they have positionally. Now, when I was doing a little research on like their prospects and everything, like shortstop-wise is looking a little iffy right now. It's more pitching heavy with guys like Evan Stone and whatnot. But I think I personally, you give Betts this amount of time to sort of figure it out in spring training. He's such a supreme athlete, like you talked about. I don't see it being that much of a concern, maybe some hiccups here or there, but I think their offense is just going to sort of blow away that issue at the end.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, their offense has so much firepower. That pitching staff, too, is really good. They're going to get a lot of strikeouts, so yeah, I think they'll be fine. You might see a little hiccups here and there, you know, defensively especially, but I think they'll figure it out and be just fine and eventually win the NL or NL West. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The Dodgers are going to take on the Padres here, of course, in the opening series in Seoul, Korea.
Week from tomorrow, Tilo. Week from tomorrow. Crazy.
Week from tomorrow. How good does that feel to say that? Now, are you going to be up at 3:30 in the morning to watch, or what are you going to do?
Mr. May is on spring break that week, so no.
Ooh.
The kid will be catching the highlights.
I will be as well. But news today that came out, which I find this stuff to always be so exciting, is Jackson Merrill has been announced as the starting center fielder for the Padres. They're top of the line prospect. When I was talking to Javier Reyes on the Padres episode, you know, that was a guy that was, we discussed where, you know, what do you feel as if, you know, he can do? And he said, look, the kid can freaking play and there's really nothing we have to worry about. Put him out there and see what happens. This is kind of the way that the Padres do things, is that they kind of finagle stuff together. And now having a little bit of young guns in the house, maybe kind of changes things around a little bit. Not so many, so many players that are elite players and the egos and all those things. Not to say that that was the case, but some young guns getting a little bit of a chance. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Brewers doing the same thing with Chirio, right? So we'll see how that works out. It should be fun, exciting time for the game. You always love to see guys coming up, young guys. You know, F it, see what they can do. That's always my opinion. It's always kind of my thought on it. So it should be fun.
Yeah, and they're so talented across the rest of the diamond that, you know, you got Bogarts, you got Kim, you got Machado, you got Tatis. Like, they're loaded. They're fine.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Let me think if there was anything else to discuss. I don't think so, bro. I think that's pretty much it. A little quick, little 20-minute episode. 1 week away. We might have to we might be ripping a couple previews of each of the teams, but the nice part is that these teams are looking pretty good at this point, is what we're going to be discussing here. So we're going to probably do a couple episodes where we kind of shrink some of those previews for each of the teams. I'm hoping to get them all done. And if we don't, we'll talk about them after the fact, but
definitely
week away, 1 week away. Okay,
fire me up, baby.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, not a shot at Vinny, but hopefully we get our fantasy draft done by then.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm a huge fan of the slow draft because of the fact that you can have the time to think about, you know, think about your picks, and obviously, like, we're all super busy and stuff, but it has its drawbacks. It does.
Yeah, pros and cons to everything. I was just gonna ask you, how do you think that draft is going for you so far? Do you like your squad?
I do. I made a huge change today. Okay. With the team name. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, yeah, Honey Nut Cheerios. I did see that.
Yeah, that one, honestly, if that's everywhere on every, like, Reddit page as a nickname for a team, I never saw it. I'm being completely honest. I thought of it on the spot. And so on that pick, I called Mark, who is drafting ahead of me, or I didn't call him, but all I thought about was, if he takes him, like, now I have to stay with Vince's shortstop as my team name.
Yep.
Which it was hitting there for a little bit, but the team needed a little spark, and I think we got that with our boy Cheerio. I feel good about it. That's a big risky move because I could have gone with Soler, or even a guy like Nolan Gorman, like, kind of setting the rest of my infield or bring in more established veteran in the outfield for homers and stuff, but I feel good about it. I mean, I got Julio, Devers, Burns, Scooble, McLean, Suzuki, Eflin, Marte, Kettle Marte, Spencer Steer, Gavin Williams, and Jackson Cheerio. KMA, remind me of your team's name again.
Philanthropics, for those of you who are familiar with the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell. Classic
so
film.
Funny. KMA, is this your first official fantasy baseball season or no?
No, I've done so. I did fantasy in the past. I took a little hiatus. Did it in high school. Took a break for a little bit, and now it's my first year doing it in probably 5 or 6 years. So,
buddy, I would like to have your team right now. Kyle Tucker, Austin Riley, Zach Gallen, Luis Robert Jr., he is a sneaky AL MVP pick this year. If he stays healthy, Logan Gilbert, Nico Horner, Tanner Bibee, William Contreras, Anthony Volpe, Jose Barrios, and Josh Naylor. That's a dude.
Yeah, work to be done. But yeah, it's been good. I'm happy with where
now
I'm at.
Now, you just picked. So it's going to be flipping around here.
Yeah, I just picked Naylor.
So I don't know if we should say anything because this episode is going to drop here tonight. So I probably don't. I won't ask you what your next pick will be. But looking at the team right now, can you give us a hint?
The biggest needs for the squad right now is pitching and outfield. So take with that take that information as you wish.
Will Jackson Holliday find a home here by the time we chat next?
That's a good question.
That'll be a big reach because that's an interesting one because, yes, he is very, very talented, and he is going to be a stud in this league for a very long time, but they have a crowded infield right now, and they can't afford for anything to go wrong this year because of, you know, them trading for Burns.
He is absolutely raking in spring training right now, too.
Oh, God, man. He is just... And then his other son, have you heard about his other son?
No.
His other son is, like, the number one kid in his class as well.
Is that right?
He's like a junior or senior in high school. Yeah, he's the number one player in his class.
Jeez, what a family.
Loaded, dude. Loaded. Yeah, no, the slow draft is kind of nice because then from, like, talking about it, we have a lot of things to kind of, like, talk about, and we're not rushing through it and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm by next episode, we'll probably be done with this And we'll let KMA break down on his team, and I'll break down my team at the end. But I really wanted to talk about the Garrett Cole news and Dylan Cease now being involved again. We might see. Maybe we have a trade by the time we talk on the next show.
Could be.
We'd like to see that. Find Cease a new home. Well, KMA, anything else here before we sign off, brother?
That's all I got. We're 1 week away, as we said. So exciting time in the baseball world.
Couldn't have said it better. All right. To everyone that tuned in, thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Big Fly Pod. We'll talk to you again here